But as I mentioned, Leo Varadkar's speech, an historic moment, one of the most significant speeches, I think it's fair to say, ever given by any Taoiseach in the history of the state. I wanted to reflect on it a little bit more. And I'm joined on the line now by two voices that you know well, Kilfenora businesswoman Orla Vaughan, and by Tony Killeen as well, former Clare Fianna Fáil TD and Minister. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Gavin.
Morning.
And thanks very
morning,
much Gavin. For joining us on the programme. We're not doing Friday panels for obvious reasons at the minute, but we said we'd convene a mini one with you both on this Wednesday morning. Orla, just your own reaction, and people have been chatting about it since, but just your own takeaway from the speech last night, first of all.
Well, I suppose they say a week is a long time in politics, but I think with the coronavirus, a day is a long time.
Absolutely.
And we were chatting a week and a half ago on the Friday panel about the virus, and we were saying, you know, people need to relax and, you know, just take it easy and not overreact. And I think that I would like to say to people, don't overreact, but we're in a completely different scenario than we were even on Monday. I'm not his biggest fan. I thought it was an excellent speech. I thought it was very calm, very well delivered. Reassuring that he is has a medical background himself. I felt that it's a funny thing with our political system and the way we've just had such a massive cry out for change, and I would have been one of those people crying out for change, and I feel very comforted that change hasn't come about just yet. Mm. It's reassuring, and I'm sure Sinn Féin might feel a bit like Liverpool Football Club. You know, they're two games away from the Holy Grail and they've been put on an indefinite pause. And yeah. I just think that the whole thing, and a health system that has been on its knees for years has just come out. And of course, we don't know yet because, as they say, the proverbial hasn't hit the fan. But they seem to be doing, I've spoken to friends who are retired nurses, ex-nurses, and gone into different careers, and they're putting their names forward. It's really galvanised people, really rallied people. I've had Councillor Joe Garrahy on the phone to me yesterday, you know, trying to get in place systems that we can help the people in Kilfenora and in North Clare in general.
He'll be with us in a few minutes, by the way, just to tell us about that, so we'll find out more in due course.
Brilliant. Yeah, and it's just, Gavin, I haven't, you know, I'm 44, I haven't seen anything like this in my lifetime. And it's not about up the banner or the banner roar anymore, it's not about Ireland's call anymore, it's a real European and worldwide problem, and it's at the end of it, I would hope that at the end of it, we can all take a little time to reflect and change a lot of things that we have been doing in this world over the last 20 years.
I think
that have been very destructive.
Very possible that would be the case, but it's a wee bit down the road. There's a big bump to get over, obviously.
It would be fantastic if people could focus that there is a massive shining light at the end of this. We are about to come into a period of really difficult times. We are going to lose loved ones. It's just very frightening. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm so happy that we're here in this little island. And I know we're focusing on Leo today, but after listening to press conferences from across the pond and Boris Johnson, I'm extremely happy with who we have in charge running things here.
Tony Killeen, your own thoughts?
Yeah, I was very happy with what the Taoiseach had to say, and one of the reasons I was happy, I suppose, was that he wasn't saying that there were new restrictions or that we had got to the next phase. I suppose, from a political perspective, the fact that it was St. Patrick's Day and such a different St. Patrick's Day provided an opportunity for the Taoiseach to speak to the people. I think it was a good call, and I think he made a really good job of it. I agree with Orla that it's very difficult for the government because a lot of people are quite terrified, and there are still a few people who are gung-ho doing exactly the wrong thing. So it's very important to reinforce the message, which they've been doing. But I think an address to the nation, like the Taoiseach made yesterday, does make even the most careless and selfish people sit up and take a bit of notice. And
but
I hope that will be the outcome.
I don't know how many selfish people or careless people there are out there. I haven't seen a lot of it. I've seen some, but I haven't seen an awful lot of it, particularly in the more recent days. But if people haven't got the message yet, I'm not so sure, A, that they'll be the sort that were tuning in last night, and B, even if they were, that it'll change their behaviour.
Well, there are people like that no matter what you do, you won't change their behaviour. But I do think when the Taoiseach makes, which is effectively a State of the Nation address like Leo Varadkar did last night, that even if he doesn't get to some of those people, that at least the general public do exert a bit of peer pressure. And I think that's probably the best you can hope for with a certain kind of people who will do the wrong thing. And of course, we do have to bear in mind that we do need an awful lot of services open. We certainly need all the medical and health services open, and they've been doing fantastically. But we also need to be able to get bread and milk and whatever the necessities of life are, and go to the chemist for paracetamol or whatever we need. So like, we do need a certain level of normality, and it doesn't seem to me to be a huge ask of people to use as much separation as is possible. And that would make an enormous difference.
Absolutely. In terms of the challenge facing the government, it is a health crisis, but it is also, Tony, an impending economic crisis as well. That could, I understand, and I'll bring Orla back in it in a second, I understand her optimism for the future, but in an economic sense, this is quickly becoming a very major problem, and one that could scar for a long time.
And it's particularly difficult in the area that Orla works in the tourism and general service in industry, looking after people with food and drink and so on and so forth. And it's difficult in a whole lot of areas. And to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that the ECB and the Federal Reserve and others, the big players, haven't been seen to be engaging, because it is very clear to me that there are a lot of countries in a huge amount of financial difficulty. Ireland wouldn't be anywhere near the worst, as it turns out. But some of the others, well, Italy would be in fairly dire straits, and Spain likewise, and several others. But, you know, Orla touched on it there in relation to the UK, and I'm afraid it's also the same in relation to President Trump and some of the carry-on that they've been going on with in terms of dealings with Russia and China and other powers has been extremely unhelpful in general terms. But in a situation where you need a world response, both in financial terms and in health terms, I think, you know, it is doing a huge amount of damage.
Back in the hospitality sense, Orla, and just even the broader business sense, I mean, I don't want to disagree and rain on your parade and the big shining light that you see in the distance, but the choppy waters between now and then are quite significant when you see 140,000 people losing their jobs in the last few days, and retail excellence warning of 200,000 more by the weekend.
Yeah, well, my tourism days are behind me, but I'm obviously, you know, very close with my brother Mark, who has the pub, and you know, you're talking about three staff members gone immediately. He was there yesterday trying to empty a cold room of food and phoning people to see who wanted milk and who wanted bread and who wanted whatever he had, closing that down. At this time of the year, and I know Mark isn't unique in this, a lot of tourism business would be living in their overdrafts, and it's once Paddy's weekend comes, you start sorting that overdraft out and you move into having money and you know, being able to spend more and buy in more goods and etc., and that's gone. The overdraft is still there, you're still in the middle of it. There is a lot of that, and I'm even speaking with my aunt in County Meath in Kells, and she has a gift shop there, and she closed her doors on Tuesday, and heart and soul, she doesn't think that shop will ever open again. There, that's a huge reality, and I might just, if we can come back to local a little bit, and I understand the importance about talking to about Trump and Boris, et cetera, but one thing that's not ageist, Gavin, and that I haven't heard anything about. We've talked about schools, we've talked about pubs, we've talked about music events, theatre, mass gatherings. We haven't talked about Marts. I haven't heard anything about Marts. And it's farming is not an ageist thing. You're farming from whenever you nearly come out of the womb, farmers would allow you to believe, and you're retiring the day you're put into the grave. And I haven't heard any major cause for, I don't want Marts cancelled, but I'm looking at people going to Marts, and they are of the age, not entirely, but there are a huge percentage of that are of the age that we're asking to take care and perhaps self-isolate down the road. I haven't heard any great talk.
I will
talk
jump
about
in
that.
A little bit, just because Claire Marts did send in a statement to us that we reported on in our news this morning, and I'll try and get the full details of it in a few minutes, but they have introduced restrictions in the interests of the health and safety of those who are attending Marts, restrictions on where you can go and what you can do. The canteen are closed, kids aren't allowed in, that sort of stuff, but they are keeping the business going.
Yeah, Yeah, that's fantastic, because obviously farmers, like if the tourism industry's tap has been cut off instantly, you need other industries to be allowed to try and keep a cash flow coming in. Yeah. So I'm delighted to hear that.
Absolutely, indeed. Tony, it's an unprecedented challenge that's facing us all. But I suppose the hope comes and stems from our community spirit and people speaking positively about that on this programme over recent days. And maybe that's the best thing that came out of the speech last night, is the Taoiseach invoking and invigorating that perhaps a little bit in terms of us coming together, standing in solidarity with one another.
Yes, local community groups have been excellent and have been tic-tacking with each other, trying to ensure that somebody who might be in need or might not be able to get out for their necessities would be looked after and seen after. And I think that's very positive. There is a political difficulty looming, of course. A very unusual situation at the moment. Tomorrow on Friday, we'll have the new Dáil and the old Seanad making legislation or passing legislation. But from, I think it might be the end of the month, the new Seanad will be elected. And then it'll be the new Dáil and the new Seanad. But unfortunately, the new Seanad can't sit until the Taoiseach nominates the 11 senators. And that's the prerogative of the new Taoiseach rather than the old. So there is a bit of a difficulty there. And I'm a little surprised that I haven't heard people saying some kind of a government would want to be put together for at least a few months. Mm. Preferably, obviously, for four or 5 years. But there is a difficulty there.
I think
there.
That goes back to Orla's point with regards to how there was a demand for change, and yet now there's a feeling that now isn't the time to upset the apple cart.
No, but there's a constitutional requirement in relation to this that can't really be got around in terms of legislation. And we could well find that the legislation that's passed tomorrow on Friday is very successful, but we might also equally find that additional legislation is required in a fortnight's time, and a way will have to be found to do that. Now, I'm encouraged by the fact that all of the opposition parties are 100% supportive of Leo Varadkar and the government, and I'm confident that a way will be found to do it. But it's getting fairly near. It's sort of less than 2 weeks, so a little action, a little urgency in relation to that might well be required.
Mm. Scary times for tours and businesses in North Clare, says a texter that was well articulated by Orla. We will need local Clare people to holiday and take their day trips and Sunday drives locally to support all the small local businesses so we can bounce back when this is all over, says a texter. I know, again, we're looking down the line, Orla, but perhaps that's one way of getting through this, is to focus on what we can and will do at the end of it all.
Yeah, and I also think huge support needs to come from government bodies in relation to this to give.
Do you think we're seeing that? I mean, you're pleased at the rhetoric last night, but are you seeing the action to follow up the talk?
Well, so far we've heard the talk, but like I haven't heard of monies coming in, or there's talk about helicopter money and different speaks like that. But I did hear one interesting comment the other day about somebody saying, you know, you should buy vouchers now from businesses to help, but businesses aren't open to do that. Breathing space is what is needed. This is not like 2008, and we've all said it 20 times. In 2008, if you were a struggling business, there was still a little trickle of cash flow coming in.
Mm.
This has been cut off effectively immediately the other night, and it's incredible just to see it. It's incredible to see in a small village like Kilfenora, three establishments in the village and their lights are off, and our evenings are getting longer. Mentally, that will help, but it can be very dark and lonely in this village from 8 o'clock at night now. It's just very unprecedented, and currently we're doing the best we can, but people need to, and I know that news is news, but please try and focus that there is, and I know we have a lot to go through before this, but there is a massive light at the end of the tunnel. We will all come out better for this. Financially, yes, we will have huge trials and tribulations, but we have each other at the moment, and we seem to have each other's backs. And just please focus on that.
I hope you're right. And just finally, Tony, I suppose one thing which is out of all of our control that will probably play a big role in determining whether Orla's optimism is well-founded is how long this goes on for, and to what extent public patience will be tested. We can stand in solidarity for a period of time, but if this were to run and run, that would come under significant strain.
It would, but if the government strategy to avoid a spike in infection is successful, one of the effects of that is that it spreads it over a longer period, but the advantage of that is that people get looked after and that the recovery of people who are infected and suffering badly from it is a lot more likely. So the panic part would be addressed at least, and also post-infection and after a lot of people have been infected, there are some studies which show that actually the end of it comes quite suddenly, as it did in China,
yeah.
And normality can return fairly quickly. And also there are other lots of encouraging things. I read some stuff on the Washington Post yesterday in relation to the kind of research that's ongoing. And while a vaccine is probably more than a year away, or maybe even 18 months away, short-term antidotes for people who are ill are gradually becoming available, or they've been available, but are gradually being recognised in terms of what works best. So, like, it's not really all bad news. And I wouldn't be overly concerned about how long it takes. I'd be a lot more concerned about what Orla was saying about normality can only return if the businesses who provide normality are there and able to return. And that will require, obviously, a national response. But it will much more crucially, I think, require an international response from the likes of the ECB, Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and the big players in Russia and China. That can be done. And I'm a bit disappointed that it's been addressed in academia. And you've had some excellent guests on. I must actually compliment Claire FM.
Thank you.
You've had really good people on who've explained things in a non-frightening way. And certainly I hope you'll be able to continue that, because I wouldn't necessarily extend that plaudit to some of the other players in the broadcasting area. But I'll try to be as charitable as I can.
You can give out about them to me later on.
Yeah.
And we'll compare notes on who I'm giving out about as well. Look, we'll see what happens. Patrick Horan's making an interesting call at the financial point. I'll bring it in a second. Patrick Horan's making that call on the financial point as well. So let's see if that spurs action. Orla, final word.
Final word, and I'm not scaremongering, but I lost my mother on the 15th of January. And if I could exchange that loss for dropping her shopping every once a day outside her door and not seeing her for 3 months, I'd take it in a heartbeat. Take care of yourselves, people.
And take care of yourself as well, Orla. Thanks very much for coming on. Orla Vaughan there. Tony as well, thank you too. Tony Killeen there, your own thoughts. Very welcome.